Mama Hayes.
Crisp Sun Hayes, how are you after the game? Welcome, Canes fans. Are we alive?
We're alive, and I cannot believe that we were subject to that game. Well, the bottom line on the ESPN, or excuse me, the ACC network, just kept doing score alerts to the USC-Washington game and the LSU-Alabama game, where they just couldn't stop scoring, and our game lacked a lot of scoring.
Our game lacked a lot of other stuff besides scoring, which I guess we'll get into. Why don't we get into that right now?
Where do you want to start?
Well, I would like to start with the, do we know where the end zone is? I mean, it's just, it's like an accident if we find the end zone. It's like, you know, Young hurtling over players last week at the Virginia game. Oh, is he a track star? Oh, maybe he shouldn't be playing football. Of course, he's injured.
It is a good question, Mom, because...
Not Young, Allen. It was Allen. Sorry.
It was Allen that did that. And yes, he was at he was out of the game this week. Fletcher Jr. was in the game and picked up where he left off against UVA, rushing for well over 100 yards and just seemed to keep getting 5 yards every single play. And it's a great question about the end zone because they seemed really good about driving the ball between our 25-yard line to NC State's 25-yard line and then stopping and just stalling out.
Yes. Stalling out is a good way to put it. Yes. Okay. We know we've got a great kicker, but could we use some of the rest of the players?
It would be nice to have more involvement. It would also be nice to jumpstart some things. I think one of the critiques of Shannon Dawson yesterday calling the game was nothing too creative to get a little spark. There's no trick play. There's nothing to get something going. You saw NC State do that against us with Brennan Armstrong coming into the game and playing this kind of like wildcat quarterback position. They were snapping it to their speedy wide receiver running back. They were just doing things to spark something because they were in the same funk we were. Instead, we just kept handing it off to Fletcher and then also hoping that our quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, would get out of his funk.
Which, speaking of that, where is Tyler Van Dyke?
Great question. He looks, after the first four games, like he was destined to be a first-round draft pick. And you won't get this reference, Mom, but recently he looks like the Monstars in Space Jam came in, took all of his abilities away so that they could play quarterback against the Looney Tunes at some point. He just doesn't look the same. I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's the play calling, but all of it just seems off. And you're usually get to see a player progress through college, and we are watching in real time a player regress in college. And we like Tyler Van Dyke a lot. We're excited. It is hard to watch. I am ready. I think the kid needs a change of scenery. I don't want to see him go because I think I'm always one of those, like, I don't want it a failure, but I just think he hopefully can get another year of eligibility, can go somewhere else and get a fresh start because something seems really off with him down in Miami.
I thought as the game started, I thought perhaps he was out of his funk. There were some plays. He was passing to the right receiver and it was working, and then it ended. I mean, it ended as fast as it started.
Correct. And I think it really came in because he's been underthrowing this ball in the end zone a lot. And it happened after the Harrison Hunt Jr. fumble recovery, where then we were in the red zone and Van Dyke just underthrew the ball. So it was an easy play for the defensive back. He had an interception. And from there, it was just like, he does not look comfortable at all. And he is seeing ghosts out there or something.
I was watching the post-game interview with Van Dyke, Fletcher, and Dean, and Van Dyke just, in comparison to Fletcher and Dean, he just seemed so down. I mean, I know he's taken this all on his shoulders, but there was just no, there was no spark, no, we're gonna get through this. I mean, the other two were, of course, Fletcher being a freshman, he acted like a freshman, and Dean being an older, more mature, they both had different takes to it, but they were both very positive. And I didn't think that Van Dyke was positive at all.
And it's tough. You can't, the kid hasn't thrown a touchdown. I saw this, thanks to State of the U, since the North Carolina game was the last time he threw a touchdown. And I know he was out of game, but that's the NC State game and that's the UVA game. So that's, again, in a time when college football is very offensive centric, he can't seem to find the end zone passing right now, which is too bad.
Well, the other thing is we had some of the worst penalties. I mean, again, when you talk about regressing, it seemed like we were going back penalty-wise to the first part of the season. I'm sorry, McCormick is the one that I've said something about before, who's like in his 8th year of eligibility for some reason, and he's dropped passes and he dropped some more passes, but he also picked penalties. Why are we using 8 years of eligibility for this guy who's doing nothing positive for us?
That's a very good question. I had some of the same thing of just kind of like, what are you bringing to this team? Because I don't think that there's a lot. I know that pass that was to kind of, maybe it wasn't to, but it was one of the tight ends that was kind of on their back. Oh, it was a freshman, onto their back hip. And my buddy James and I are talking about, like, where's Arroyo and what's going on there? I know that we could probably search it up pretty quickly if he's healthy or not, but he seemed to be somebody that was destined for kind of some development and a breakout, but he's not there. And instead, we have McCormick, who again is just not any type of game changer for us or this big time player that helps produce anything. And like you say, there are a little bit too many penalties. I mean, it is surprising. There were only 6 penalties for 55 yards.
Oh, man, but they came at bad times.
They did. James Williams, I think, had probably one of his worst games. He didn't seem like he wanted to tackle, and the only way that he wanted to tackle was like a high school football player that comes down and tries to throw his shoulder at everything. And it's really cool when it works, and it's effective when that early in the game when he ran and hit the quarterback to stop them from a first down. But it doesn't look so good late in the game when you're missing tackles and getting a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty because you don't wrap up properly and you're getting a penalty there. And then you're also then getting run over or not wrapping up. I was disappointed to see him. And one that I think kind of slipped while he did end up with an interception. It was awesome. And I think Cam's playing very well, but he had 2 early interception opportunities that he also missed that could have put that game out early and put the Canes up even in a better position and maybe give that offense some confidence. Now, to say, I'm not going to blame the defense for yesterday. The defense did great. And after that fourth down, where we didn't get the fourth down conversion in their red zone, it deflated that defense. And I'm not going to put that on them. Like, yes, it'd been great to see, but it was kind of like they just were done and they were tired because they had done everything they could to keep that team in the game.
Not just this game, but the last 3 games, the last 4 or 5 games. And they're tired. And I don't care how much you say, well, we're not, we're all in this together, and in the locker room, we don't blame them. I'm sure that there is. And that could have been a lot of what was going on with James Williams. I'm sure he was frustrated and tired of it.
I imagine you are right on that. I remember being there my freshman year where there was a lot of that. The defense was playing very well. And while saying the right things outside the locker room, team meetings and inside the locker room had a very different feel to them. Let's just say that. And I imagine some of that is coming out as well this year for the Miami Hurricanes.
I'd be one bit surprised. I wouldn't blame them. I would do it.
And what's too bad is I'm looking at this. There's no major explosive plays. I know Fletcher just like, this is Mario Cristobal, run the ball for 5 yards, run the ball for 5 yards, run for the ball for 5 yards. And it goes into getting creative. There was just no spark to this. So it doesn't excite a defense, doesn't excite a team. It's just kind of this methodical approach. And this is how Mario wants to play. This is how he wants to do it. But I also feel that we're kind of in this era of like, we're running a form of the Georgia Tech triple option. If you're successful and you run the ball and you run the clock and time of possession, great. You win and you look great. And when you go up, you have great defense that holds your team. But if you go down at all, even if it's by 7 or 10 points in the third or fourth quarter, it feels like it's insurmountable. You remember Clemson when we went down 17-7? I doubt there was no way they win that game. Yesterday was a lot of the same too. I mean, once that touchdown happened late in the game for them to go up 17-6, it's like, there's no chance. There's no way that they can come back in this game. And Mario's got to fix that in some way. I know he loves to recruit, but we're going to then be great with all this great talent, winning 8 to 10 games a year, but always losing dumb games like this.
Not good enough. It's not good enough. Well, here we go with the awards. And I have to be quite honest about this. I was ready to give no, that's N-O, no awards. As the game was dragging on, I was going back through my notes and I was seeing nobody who did anything notable, which we've actually already addressed in the first segment. There was nothing to spark the team. So while I recognize that Fletcher had a good day, I mean, I guess he had to because they kept running him. But we gave him an award last week. So I think that we ought to just give a big spread of muffins, red beans and rice, and a new wrinkle that we have to the defense and let them figure out what to do with it.
That sounds amazing. The new wrinkle that we're adding, and this is a suggestion from my buddy James Rohal, is I get to give out a little side of cornbread. It doesn't mean that the person had an amazing game, just somebody that I noticed that I want to give the cornbread to go with the red beans and rice. And I agree with you. There are not a lot of options. We talked about that yesterday too. Just like, who is mom going to give something to? This was middle of the third quarter, hoping things would change. And I agree, Mark Fletcher should probably get a little something, but I will have to say this. We don't give him enough love, and he just seems to be in control of this offense in a good way and the offensive line. And I think really is a leader and sets the tone. And that is the center, Matt Lee, the transfer from UCF. And I was saying too, I hope this guy has another, I believe he has another year because he's a red shirt junior. And I hope he stays one more year, because while he might not be the most talented out there, that guy just, I see him and everything just seems to kind of calm down. He plays hard. He plays through the whistle. He was the guy that was screaming and crying on the sideline after the Georgia Tech game. So my first ever side of cornbread goes to Matt Lee. And man, I hope I can just give you cornbread the rest of the year and next year, because I'm a big fan.
Okay. Great. Sounds great. Moving on.
While we were subjected to an awful scoring game, and as we touched on in the first segment, that USC-Washington game was amazing. So much so that my buddy James and I watched the like 15-20 minute like condensed game immediately after, because we missed all of it. And man, do I wish that I'd watched that game instead of ours.
Maybe in the future, we will be watching alternate games.
I think there's a good chance of trying to get a second TV or screen somehow, some way, to actually have the smaller screen be the Miami game and the bigger screen be the important games that are going on. I was also watching it on tape delay, so we were not trying to skip to that game. We were trying to actually catch up to the USC-Washington game so that we weren't spoiled by anything that was going on in our game. Turns out we should have just skipped the tape delay and watched that game, because it would have been much more exciting. Even LSU-Alabama was, while not close at the end, was still a scoring event and had fun. And their quarterback, Crazy, is progressing as the season goes on.
Oh, isn't that how it's supposed to work?
It is. Florida State took care of business. Unfortunately, we are recording this early enough in the week where we are not going to live react to the college football playoff rankings, which I know was actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. I'm not sure how much did you enjoy that last week?
I did. I thought that was great. We should do that all the time. But we only have four more weeks to do it.
Yes. Well, maybe next week we can try and schedule around a Tuesday or Wednesday morning and not see any of the rankings and do it live together. But I think Georgia escapes. Georgia keeps winning. I didn't see much of the Ohio State game. Obviously, Washington might actually jump itself into the fourth team after their big win against USC. But I will say, you've heard me say it every single week in this segment.
I know it's coming. Maisie knows too.
It is going to be Georgia and Alabama in this college football playoff.
I'm afraid I'm beginning to agree with you.
So, look forward to that, everybody. Everything always just stays the same. Doesn't matter if Miami changes head coaches, they're still losing really annoying games, and Georgia, Alabama are going to go on and win and play for the college football playoff. And that leads us into us playing one of the top four teams in the country next week with a 3:30 Eastern start on ABC against our rival Florida State. And our rundown, you gave us maybe a 15% chance of an upset. I will be interested to see if you've changed your mind or lowered those odds since you sent that to me about 2 hours ago.
I think those are high odds. I'd be surprised. I'm sure we will not score a touchdown.
I disagree. I think we will score a touchdown. I think that we will keep this game close in the first half because it's a rivalry game. And I think the defense will come out to play and want to prove and shut down the Florida State offense. I think the wide receivers for Florida State are just too talented. And especially the game being in Tallahassee, I'm expecting Florida State to take control as that game goes on. I'm giving it ends up being a little bit, it's close, but then it opens up. I'm going 28-13 Florida State.
28-13. I'm going a little bit different. I'm going 52-6.
Whoa. Miami wins, huh?
Yeah, right. In your dreams.
Well, I hope that my dreams become reality and we upset them. I hope we're both wrong, because that'd be a lot of fun. And again, a nice step forward. Also, would continue to confuse me about what this Miami football team is if they did win on Saturday.
Let me clarify here. You are not predicting that Miami is going to win, are you?
No, I'm saying that Florida State is going to win 28-13. It's one of those, like, we'll be in it. It'll be like 10-14. And then as the game goes on, it'll be like we kick a field goal and all of that. So sounds like the dog needs to go for a walk and needs to eat. So let's break it down and get out of here.
Ready? Okay.
C-A-N-E-S.
Canes.
This has been another episode of Walking On with Chris Hayes featuring Mama Hayes.
Go Canes!